Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bon appetitio, and
yeah,
welcome to the Off Menu podcast.
Our guest today is Josie Long,
the wonderful Josie Long,
one of my favourite comedians. Very exciting.
She's an amazing comedian. You've toured with her before.
Supported her on tour in 2010.
Yeah,
it's a privilege and an honour. And now to have her on this podcast, the same.
The same, also. Quickly explain the podcast for us, James.
We'll be asking Josie her favourite ever starter, main course, side dish, dessert and drink. And I'm a genie waiter.
And you're a genie waiter, which now and again you forget. It came up a lot in the initial episode.
You're forgetting sometimes.
And then quite often you do forget that you're a genie and the guest leaves without ever knowing.
Yeah, that well, that's the good thing about being a genie sometimes is that people don't know if it's you or not. There's that theory that in Disney's Aladdin, the merchant at the beginning is actually the genie in disguise.
It definitely is. That's not a theory.
No, it's a theory. Disney haven't confirmed it, and it's not
there. It's Robin Williams' voice, though.
It is still his voice, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and it looks exactly like the genie.
Yeah, but it's a theory. It's not a fact.
Our resident Disney expert is looking confused and is Googling it.
Oh, the director confirmed it.
Right.
The first thing that comes up is that the director confirms it as the genie.
And that's definitely what it's supposed to be.
But that's like, but there you go, you see? So that's like me.
Is it?
Is that you don't know he's the genie at the beginning.
Yeah.
So when they've left the restaurant, they don't know that I was the genie.
You've got many gears as a comedian, James, but my favourite gear is when you realise everything's fallen apart.
Yeah. Keep rolling.
So this is a great episode. Josie's brilliant. Do like, subscribe, review, all of that sort of thing. We in our outro and intro capacity will see you after the podcast, but in a minute you're going to hear us in full podcast mode.
And very importantly, Josie cannot order a dish with bay leaves in it. That is the secret ingredient.
The secret ingredient. If she orders bay leaves, she's out.
Then she'll know I'm a genie.
Hello, Josie.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. Welcome to the off-menu restaurant.
Thanks very much.
Welcome. May I take your coat?
Yes, it's a coat that I found under the bed that I'd had sitting around for 6 years.
Oh, really?
It looks quite smart.
It looks quite good, actually.
So hang on, it's your coat, but you lost it 6 years ago under the bed, or it's someone else's coat?
It's my coat.
But you just...
I was using it. When me and my pals were making a short film, It was just us. We didn't have any, like... expensive wardrobe, but it was in Scotland in November.
Yeah.
So I like had this down coat, and like in between I would put it on myself and be like, traveling, you know? And then I just, in my head I was like, that's my set coat.
Yeah.
And put it in a box under the bed. And then I opened the box and I was like, this is a nice coat. I'm a fool.
Had you forgotten it was under there completely? Like when you find a fiver, like in your receipts or something.
Yes, the best, the very
best.
It's
so good.
Oh, or like a nearly completed loyalty card. I'm always finding them with the receipts. So like, take it all out the purse.
Love it.
I did my taxes a month early, which feels like I did it 10 years early.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you feel good?
No, I hated it.
It was horrible. Me discovering an old coat is great. It is like buying a new coat.
Yes. Mm. And also, it's buying a new coat, but previous you've done all the hard work.
Yeah.
Because as long as you've not changed that much, previous you knows everything about you.
Yeah, it works, you like it. But you haven't worn it in a while, so you go, oh, it feels like a new me.
Mm.
Even though it's the old me.
Even though it's the old you, yeah. Very philosophical early doors.
It's what I expected from the Joseph Long episode.
Well, also, I think I said this to you the other day. I've had a baby, and I'm the first person to have done so. So it's
is that a spoiler?
In the world. Spoiler for her, insofar as life is terrible. No. But it does such weird things to your identity. The other day, I felt like I was in... I guess it's like an episode of The Simpsons where Homer's suddenly in this like dimensional vortex and the world around him strips away and he's just like, and I was like, oh, this is full on. So you got a clink when you find an old coat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a clink to it.
You put the coat on and go, this is what it was like when I didn't have a baby. This was the coat. This is how I used to stay warm when I was childless.
Yeah, just walked around. So yeah, you can take my coat.
Okay, cool.
Thank you very much. Take a seat. Any seat you like. We don't normally say take a seat to people, but like...
No,
but
you're really going through the rigmarole of being a waiter today.
Well, I mean, for those of you who don't know, listen to the podcast. Like, you know, my first break in comedy was that Josie took me on tour with her. I supported Josie. So I think I still feel like Josie's my boss.
Right,
and
I see.
When she comes in, I'm giving her the treatment way better than anybody else. Yeah. Even though in this restaurant.
When we were on tour, it wasn't like I was like, I'm the boss, James. You've got to do this.
But I still respected you as my boss. Yeah, it was still like, I had to be like, no, this is Josie's tour. And part of the thing is making it easier for her. I knew what my job was. Even though no one told me that was my job, Josie didn't say, listen, you're going to make this easier for me.
Like, you know. I'll tell you how you're going to make it easier for me.
But yeah, you were still like, my money was coming out of your tour, so you're still paying me. That's a boss's job. That's a boss. So like,
Is sad for me because I'm an anti-capitalist and I truly hate the bosses.
Yeah.
So now all this time I've been a boss.
You've always been my boss. So you know, you're the first guest I've offered a table to.
Oh my God.
Because I feel like I'm going to play as the boss.
Also, do you know, there's so few places in my life. Like I've never had been at a restaurant where people are like, hey, any table you want.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You never get that. It'll be like, well, you're going to have to wait for half an hour.
There's no one sat in there and they're like, okay, well, that table there. And you're like, they should offer any table at that point, I think.
I hate getting offered like the drafty table. When it's like,
do they call it
a nice one over there. But you can see that they are, why don't you sit next to the door? Oh, yes, please.
Do you know what I hate? When there's a booth available, but they're like, that's for four people. You've got to take this rickety old...
If four people come along, I'll get up and move. But come on.
I won't. I'll sit there and eye at them and say, I'm a mother of one.
Oh, I'd love that excuse. One day.
It is a good excuse to get a booth. You're right. It's worth it.
Mother of one.
That's why I miss being pregnant. When you're pregnant, you can get pretty much everything you desire.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, except for a decent shot.
Well, sit in this booth. You have a booth. We'll give you a booth to yourself.
Look at that.
Congratulations.
You really are rolling up the red carpet today.
I'm absolutely beaming.
The boss is in.
I'd say this is the first episode there's been a booth.
Yeah. Normally.
Oh, I'd love it. It's just a shack normally.
Yeah. Normally it's like those tables that there's no chairs. Is it in Japan? And you just sit on the floor.
Yeah.
Mm.
Normally that's what the restaurant is, but we've never referenced that. But in my head, it's always been that.
Have you sat at those? They're very painful.
Are they painful?
I'm not flexible, though.
Oof, not anymore.
I'm not. Oh, I had to sit on a kayak and murder. You ever sat on a kayak?
I thought you said I had to sit on the kayak in murder.
Yeah, that's what it said. You had to sit on a kayak in murder.
You committed some murder.
Yeah, yeah, you committed waterborne
murder. A skillful murder.
Yeah. You could do it just at home.
A blade on the end of each of my paddles.
Yeah.
Going around just
killing fish.
Yeah. Just sticking people, yeah, and then like going away. But it's murder on my core.
Yeah.
As well.
That's what you want. You want a workout and a spree. That's what you want.
No. I had to sit on a kayak on a stag do.
Right.
In a
kayak.
Yeah, and go kayaking.
Yeah.
In the sea in Brighton.
Yeah.
And it was horrible.
But don't you put your legs out flat on that?
Yeah, but like you got to get your back straight because otherwise you can't.
It starts hurting right in
absolutely
there.
Absolutely horrible. Hated it.
Sound good.
That, perversely, that sounds like my idea of fun, but I...
Yeah, you'd love it. Yeah,
all right. Well, sorry, you don't have to sit in the booth. You can sit in this kayak.
When we were on tour, I did force him to go swimming in the sea, and it was on the Isle of Mull, and it was freezing cold, and there were seals in the water.
Yes.
And he doesn't have subcutaneous protection like I have. And so I was it's actually quite fine. And he was like blue and shivering and like, I'm trying to do this for the good of the tour.
The bus tour material. It sounds like, the more we find out, the more horrible a boss it sounds like you were.
The boss getting me in the water. I really like swimming with the seals. When the seals came over to us, it felt very special.
Are you going to die, Josie, just before?
Well, I was sipping my tea in a really sort of gangland way, but it backfired.
Yeah, you were trying to stare me out.
Because it wasn't me. Anyway,
I like swimming with the seals. It was Portobello that broke me when we swam in the sea in Portobello in November.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I felt like my heart was beating on the surface of my chest.
To be fair, it probably was. Like, your body was going, what are you doing to me?
And I remember I didn't... Because I was driving on that tour, and you and Johnny were like, "Oh, we got to get to the gig." And I was like, "I can't feel my feet. I'm not driving yet." And then when we got to the gig, you did a bit before me, where you said, "This guy's a wimp, just so you know."
Oh, wouldn't, no!
Wouldn't drive because he couldn't feel his feet.
Evil boss strikes again.
Was funny. Though. First of all, may I get you some water?
Yeah.
Sparkling or tap?
Am I allowed to have sparkling water? Is it? I feel like this might be a trap.
No, it's your dream restaurant.
I'd have sparkling. I mean, I think most of the time if I was in a restaurant, I'd be like, just tap water's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
I'll have sparkling. I'll have the Cristal sparkling water that you keep for special buses.
Now watch, because I visited you this week.
Oh, yeah?
In your home, and you had sparkling water.
Yeah, we did.
I logged that. I didn't mention it at the time, but I thought, oh, I wonder if she'll ask for sparkling water for the podcast. And you have.
I do. It's when I was a kid, if we ever went on holiday, what was weird about when I grew up is like my family at home, my mum would quite often like feed me like a doner kebab you could microwave individually or like stuff that was very sort of like 80s convenience stuff.
Yeah.
If we ever went on holiday, it would be to France or Spain, and my mum would become this kind of 1950s... like English woman abroad, like bon vivant, you know. It's like whenever I went to Spain, she'd be like in Spanish, like agua con gas, and like be really like, you've got to have this incredible sparkling water, you know. And then we go back home and it's not like, she'd then be like, and I've brought back some brie,
yeah,
it would just be like, eat the microchips,
you know? Yeah.
But when she went to France or Spain, it was.
So does it still feel special then?
Yeah,
sparkling water
feels like a treat, even though it's water,
sure.
Yeah. But I know what you mean. It's still, it feels like a treat. I wouldn't normally have it, but now and again, if I do it, I'll always make the dad joke of going like, why not? Let's splash out. I'll have some sparkling water. But I do mean that deep down.
Ed is going to be such a good dad.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, because I make the joke about sparkling water all the time.
You need to make your jokes regularly and forever.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I'm cool. Hi, cool. I'm dad. You know.
I haven't heard that one before. Laugh.
One of my favourites that I do now, and I'll be doing it as a dad as well, is when they bring all the food to the table, I'll say, what's everyone else having?
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, very,
lovely.
That's very good.
Or you've just finished the whole meal.
Yeah.
Well, that was the starter
done.
Yeah,
perfect. Perfect.
Oh. I love one of these.
Oh, you finished the entire meal. They come to pick up your plate. Yeah. Couldn't eat a mouthful of it. Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, that's a classic. Oh, no, I hated that. Hated it.
Also, when it's Halloween, if someone's dressed up, they've got a mask on, and then I'd have to go, what are you putting your costume on?
Yeah.
Or they take the mask off and they go, take the mask off.
Yeah. or you're on the phone, you have a really long conversation and you put it down and you go, wrong number.
Yeah, wrong number.
I do that all the time.
That was on that tour, you did that all the time.
Actually, when I was on tour with Greg Davis, whenever we had a meal and the waiter came over, his joke would be, oh, mine was delicious, but he ate his.
Right.
Ooh, a bit harsh. Bad boss.
Dropping you in it. Bad boss.
Evil boss.
Don't like that.
He learned everything he knows from you.
He never tried to dunk you in the sea, did he? No, he
Josie. Pop it arms off bread, Josie! Pop it arms off bread!
Oh, this has come out of nowhere!
Yeah, but okay. It's every episode, and our producer, the great Benito, is scared every single time it happens. And this time I saw him reach for the volume on his headphones because he thought it was coming, and he got there just in time. Yeah.
He's a gentle soul that you are torturing.
He is, poor old great Benito.
That's a hard question, and it's a horrible question to think of.
Yeah.
So... I think I'm celiac, but I haven't got the... I feel like if I get the diagnosis, then I have to be really strict about being gluten-free, and I just can't bring myself to do that, even though I get, like, massive rashes whenever I eat. Like, I know I am, but I feel like if I don't... It's like buying glasses.
Sure.
Once you buy the glasses, it's like, oh, I have to wear glasses.
Yeah.
Whereas until then, you can be like, no, that bus is just too far away.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No one could read it.
And so I'm
gluten-free, but in, like, a wink way. I'm like, I'm gluten-free, but that's a croissant and we're in France. So and so,
that's
like... we're not fucking about here.
Yeah.
Like, you have to balance it with the fact that we live once and bread is the best thing in the world.
Exactly,
so
I
would choose bread, and ideally in this imaginary restaurant, it wouldn't give me the pain and distress that it does in real life.
I think that's fine.
St. John, that restaurant, there's a restaurant... Pardon me, two branches, one in Spitalfields and one in Smithfields.
Yeah.
And they bake their own sourdough. And it's so beautiful. And that with some salted butter.
Yeah.
I've been, unsalted butter. Oh, I was trying to write a thing of it's like sex without an orgasm. and then I was like, that's not who I am.
Doesn't sound like a crazy long joke, does it?
I want to be ladies.
I mean, come on. Butter well tells that sex without an orgasm.
But it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would be sourdough with
tantric butter.
Yeah, but isn't the whole point of tantric sex that when it does happen, it's like bigger?
As far as I understand it, you can't, part of it is that you should be happy with just doing it and not having the orgasm at the end. So,
the process, the journey.
Yeah, it's all about the journey.
There.
Sure.
I mean, no, I'm not into it, guys.
I'm not condoning it.
I don't want it. If anything, get rid of the journey whatsoever. I'll just eat a bucket of salt.
Oh, now we're talking.
Do you have any gluten-free bread recommendations for people listening who are looking for good gluten-free bread?
I really do. They'll probably know. There's one brand called Genius gluten-free bread, and it's changed the game.
Right.
Before that, gluten-free bread was like this sort of powdery, sad. It was like, no, you know, budgies have that thing in their cage, like a what's it? It's like a bit bone.
Yeah,
and they peck at the bone.
Yeah,
that's what it was like.
There is a word for it, isn't there? But it's like a seedy bone.
No, not seedy. It's like white cuttlefish.
Cuttlefish. Oh right,
it's the centre of it. Yeah, they just peck on that.
Yeah,
their sad little life. That's what gluten-free bread was like before Genius came along.
Right.
And Genius just smashed the whole game wide open. And as a result, everyone is upping their game because Genius changed the game.
Right.
There's also a bakery chain. Ugh. I have a real vendetta against chain food, especially chain restaurants. It makes me so sad. But that having been said, when Pizza Express started doing gluten-free pizza, I was like, I shall enter your doors. There's a chain called Beyond Bread, and they do fantastic stuff. They do things like croissants that actually taste like croissants and bread that has the real texture.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's nice to recommend.
nice that that started. It's a good when one person ups it. It's certainly funny how everyone else goes, oh, we can do it, actually.
Yeah. And like, it's so funny because it's something so small and so niche, but that's life changing for the small amount of people. It's literally like, oh, I can have toast in the morning every day.
Yeah.
Astonishing.
Also, there's some things like, it's like with vegan food getting better now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just vegans who eat it. Like you kind of want to, everyone wants to try new stuff if it's delicious.
Yes.
So like, and especially if it's more ethical. Anyway, I love meat.
He's put his hand up to say that.
I'm not going to paint myself as a good guy all of a sudden. That's what I want everyone to know. I'm trying to paint myself as this real good guy. And actually, I'm a murderer.
Do you consider it like that?
I got a kayak and a paddle and I fashioned some blades on my even end. What do you call it when I'm sticking people in the ocean?
I call it, you know, it's just part of human nature. You're top of the food chain. Sometimes you've got to get in a kayak and kill some people.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And for your starter, Josie.
Oh, so this is the one that's the most roaming. But I'm going to settle it on one that's very recent, but it's kind of a genre. But I'm going to settle it. There's a restaurant around the corner from me, and it's the closest I've got to going to a place and them recognising me. Like, they know me, and they know my partner, and they saw me all through my pregnancy, and we bring the baby in sometimes. And very recently, maybe 3 months ago, for the first time since I had the baby, I went there on my own. While Johnny walked the baby around the park between 6 and 7 p.m. and I had dinner on my own in a restaurant, and it was the most incredible experience. I was just sat there and like everything I ate was like, oh, it's the best thing I've ever eaten. It was like the most like mindful but like beautiful experience.
I guess having the chance to take time over eating it and enjoying it after you've had a baby is quite tricky. So
And to be out at like, it's such a brilliant restaurant. It's called My Neighbours the Dumplings. And so it would be like a little basket of dumplings.
Yeah.
They do that really beautiful prawn dumpling. They've started recently doing a pork kimchi dumpling that is...
That's amazing.
They do crispy prawn wontons. Everything's delicious, but I think it would be what I had, the first thing I had when I got there was a prawn dumpling that was really peppery.
Yeah.
And I remember eating it thinking, is it more peppery today or am I noticing it? it was bliss. And it was like so special to me. But I would also, I always think about, there's a film called Mermaids, like Cher, Winona Ryder, somebody else. Probably a few other people.
Yeah, not just that. It's not too hard. Sure.
And then think about the crew.
Catering.
Best boy.
Yeah. A lot of people.
Gaffer, of course.
Would have been very short credits if you just said Cher and Owner Rider.
Yeah.
And you'd be impressed.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah. You did everything.
Yeah. It's only ever one of them on screen because the other one's filming.
The other one's filming, doing the lighting. Yeah. They've both got joint DOPs.
The awkward handover of the camera. Yeah.
Gives what my did bit. You say? Also, it's the 80s, so it'd be a big old unit. We're not fucking about here. It's on wheels. So in that film, the mum only makes starters. And all my life, I've like been... I think starters are the best.
Yeah.
They're better than everything. You know, some people like starter or dessert. Starters.
Yeah.
They're great.
They are good.
It's always more interesting.
There was a restaurant in Edinburgh for a bit that was just a starters restaurant, I think.
Really?
But I think it's shut now. But yeah, it was just... I think it was called like International Starters or something.
This is the other thing, dumplings. So I love trolley dim sum. I love where they just bring round more and more and they try and force it on you. And I just end up like, yes. And also I'm not shy. Like, say there's two left and there's three of us, I'll eat one of them.
Sure.
And if people get upset, I'll buy a whole extra punnet. I'm not fucking about it. But so it would be like, I like any sort of dumpling, an international dumpling. I like any international dumpling, any international pancake. So
a rule.
So any nation's version of that food you're on board with.
Yeah, so the dumpling, you've got pierogi.
Yeah.
You've got dumplings.
Dumplings.
And that's the end of that one.
Yeah.
But like, you've got momos.
Momos?
Yeah.
What's a momo?
It's a Nepalese dumpling.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
What makes a momo a momo?
I wish that I could have thought of any joke to respond to that. Like anything. It wouldn't have had to be good. It would just have
just
to be
rhythm.
Like,
you just need rhythm with
just
that.
Just like practice. So, yeah. And then like pancakes is a big deal because you've got like doses, you've got Injera, you've got your crepe, your buckwheat crepe.
What are the ones, what are the Ethiopian ones called?
Injera.
The Injera bread. That's the sour sponge, the sour sponge, right?
Love it.
Eat the plate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not enough places can you eat the plate.
You eat, technically you can in anyway.
You're gonna give
it a good go.
You started eating the plate, they just have to let you get on with it.
You know those guys that eat glass?
Yep.
They could have a good go on a plate.
Yeah, they could. Surely they could have a good go on a plate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People who eat glass, you see magicians do it, and they just, when they can't wait to freak people out.
Yeah.
See the look in their eye, they go, I'm about to eat the glass again. They go up to people at a party and they drink the wine, and then they just, in front of everyone, just take a big bite out of the glass and everyone freaks out.
I do not like people who exist to provoke. You know?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, right? If you will go for a massage, right?
Yeah.
You would pay to go see comedy to make you feel better. There's no provocation that you'd pay for.
Roller coaster.
Oh, I suppose you're right. Mm. Horror film.
So peppery. Peppery prawn dumplings.
Yeah, and it was just such a
peppery prawn dumpling.
Lovely experience.
From my neighbours.
My neighbours the dumplings. It's
my
in Clapton.
My
you can go.
The dumplings.
You can't book, so get there early. Yeah. You get there around 5 or 6 p.m. You might see me on my own. Don't talk to me.
Ed took me to Ugly Dumplings.
Ugly Dumplings.
Wow, what's that?
It's a dumpling place near Carnaby Street.
Oh, I should go.
It's really nice.
Good. Yeah, yeah. They do dessert dumplings there as well, which I know you just said, like, start over dessert any day, but I feel like it's best of both worlds, a dessert dumplings.
I agree.
You know, you get both. The one I like is the one that's filled with almost a blueberry pie filling. And then there's a creme fraiche kind of dip for it. Very nice.
James is a really good person to eat with because he's one of the people I know that both of us will do the thing where you eat a plate of one thing, so it's a little plate of dumplings, and then go, they were really good. Most other people I've eaten with would be like, next time we come, we should have those. But me and James will go, we want another plate.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Why live on your knees, firstly?
Yeah.
Why not? Do you know who was amazing for that? And it, like, I already loved her, but I was like, oh, I love you so much. I went for dinner with Roshi and Conti, and she was like, I'm a big over-orderer. And I was like, so am I! Yeah. And, like, if there's one thing I cannot bear, like, a restaurant is a special thing and should be.
Yeah.
So, like, don't be parsimonious when it comes to some, you know, £4.
Yeah.
Who am I to lecture people on parsimony? Do whatever you want to do. But, like, I'd rather go less and eat more when I do go.
Absolutely.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The main course.
Yeah.
I feel like, because if you started your favourite, then this might be, does it feel like a bit of a step down? Are you calling things off?
Well, it was harder to think of because I was like, well, why don't I think about, you know, really significant meals with friends and family? And I was like, yeah, I've had them. But I couldn't, like, think of one thing that I was like, and that blew my socks off. So it'd be like a combination of, because I was thinking about some Christmases, it's usually like me and a pal will cook Christmas. Mm-hmm. And with that, I like really get to curate Christmas how I love.
Yeah.
So like always have a medjool date wrapped in bacon. And the bacon is always the best quality bacon from like the, from Borough Market, where it's like heavy and doesn't shrink when you cook it. And like, oh, it crisps up. And
well, so you do your bacon research.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not just stepping into this cult.
Yeah. You're not fucking about.
Blind. No.
Devils on Horseback, I believe they're called, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's called a date wrapped in bacon.
The coolest name for any food.
Devils on Horseback. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Who came up with that? What intense person.
Someone
named that.
Someone from ages ago. Yeah, at a banquet or something. Intense. Probably a Satanist.
Well, it must be because they're so rich. And back then it would just be like, you can have one, but you'll die of gout.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'll go to hell.
Yeah, because that's, no, but it's like extra, isn't it? Like, you think the devil's full on. Stick him on a horse.
Yeah, yeah. Put the devil on a horse.
I only mean he's got cloven hooves. He doesn't need a horse.
Yeah, he doesn't need, that's too many hooves.
Confusing for the horse having a hoofed animal on its back.
Yeah.
It's like when the Minnie the Mouse had a pet dog. And the only difference was Minnie the Mouse was wearing clothes. It's like,
come on,
guys.
Yeah, who's in charge here?
And the devil looked from horse to devil, devil to horse.
So you have devils in horseback on Christmas as well, a Christian festival. You put the devil into it.
So in a way, I think
Satan into your house on Christmas Day.
There should be for Christmas called not devils on horseback, Jesus on human,
Jesus on a donkey.
Be a donkey.
Jesus has feet and hooves.
Jesus on a donkey would be like an apricot dipped in bread sauce. It would be like very light.
Yeah, very light.
Pure.
Yeah.
It would be like broccoli wrapped in string. I always think that's just reminding me of when in The Simpsons again, Yoko Ono, or like the Yoko Ono version, and when they're all in a fake band, asked for a drink in Moe's, and she asked for a single pear suspended in alcohol. That's my drink. No, isn't it?
Can't wait to make it.
So I think I'd have a really nice Christmas dinner, I think, because I like a three-bird roast.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh, it's a murder.
What are your birds?
Oh, here's another thing.
Yeah.
I love game and I love rabbit.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry because before I got pregnant, I was going down to eating meat once a week and I felt like I was getting there. And I've managed to like mostly cut out dairy and cream cheese and stuff. But I got pregnant and then I was just like, I need meat and I must have meat.
You've got to eat what your body craves when there's another body in your body. I believe that's the doctor's.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're having a bird in a bird in a bird, and you got a body in a body.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only meal that you should be having.
Yeah, yeah.
There's satsuma that's got an orange that's got an orange in it.
Yeah. An orange. Everything has to be in something.
Yeah.
That's why devil's on horseback, the hoof on the hoof.
A Scotch egg. Who doesn't love a Scotch egg?
Who doesn't love a Scotch egg?
I do love a Scotch egg, especially, but once you've had a Scotch egg hot, like deep fried with the runny yolk, it's hard to ever have another Scotch egg again.
My mouth just watered.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's the absolute best. Oh. When they deep fry them and then they cut it in half and the yolk's that, you know, that perfect like ramen yolk. Mm. Like that.
sort of almost custardy. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I could change my meal. I'll tell you my second backup in a minute. But I just remembered I did some gigs in Fukuoka in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And after the gig, and it was just like, I spent 24 hours in this town. And the guy who booked them is this guy called Ollie, who's like the nicest man. And he basically gave me a dream day.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when a promoter they just look after you so well that you look back on it and you're like, I had a week's holiday.
Yeah.
So he kind of like put me in a capsule hotel and took me out to karaoke. And it was just like everything I could ever
everything
want.
Everything you wanted, sort of a checklist for Japan.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was just like, we're going to make this for you. And after the gig, he took us out for tonkotsu ramen, which there's a chain, small chain in London called Tonkotsu that makes this one type of ramen. And it's nice, but oh my God, it was it was the most incredible unctuous thing, and I ate the gluten noodles and I knew it was going to hurt me. I didn't give a fuck. I was just eating it, and the noodles were handmade like in front of everyone, and the broth was like 3 day old pork broth that was like creamy, but there was no
amazing
cream in it.
Yeah.
And it had the perfect egg, and then like this pork that was kind of crumbly but not so crumbly as that you don't enjoy the texture. Oh my gosh.
Always order extra egg in a ramen.
Oh yeah,
that's what I do sometimes, because they always give you that one half egg, and I'll at least get another half egg, probably two.
Yes.
We've got one and a half eggs in there. just Amy Annette. Shout out to Amy Annette.
Yeah.
she's the person I first saw ordered extra egg and ramen. And yeah. I thought, why have I not been living like this?
Yeah. That's like a true life hack when you see someone. It's like when you're like in a burger place and somebody goes, oh, can you put an extra piece of cheese in? You're like, I'm allowed to live like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't think that was possible.
So you haven't named your birds yet.
Oh, well, okay.
Hate to pick you up.
So it might be, so ramen's in, that ramen is in the running now, yeah, for the main, okay.
But the birds would be like goose, partridge or pheasant, ooh, and maybe turkey for appearances, or maybe duck. Because you want to get a light bird in there,
yeah,
but you want to get some game in there.
Yeah,
sure.
Mm. Maybe I'd have a five bird roast. Let why not? The carnage increase.
I thought you were about to do a Paddy McGuinness.
Let the carnage see the farnage.
Yeah.
Let the carnage see mum's appetite.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was another contender, but I just couldn't get over my mixed feelings about it, which is I feel very brutal about it, and it really confronted me about my meat eating, and did basically stop me eating meat for a while, but then the baby, and now I need to work out a way to maybe only eat meat every couple of months, but really make sure it's good and, you know, all that shit.
Is it live dog?
My mum's dog.
You harpooned your mum's dog.
Grace.
I could see why that would make you confront your meat eater.
Here's the thing, I would not eat my mum's dog because she feeds it shit. She feeds her dog treats all day and all night, and she feeds it pizza. That poor dog, it's about 4 years old, and it just wheezes around.
It's not getting eaten, it knows that.
No.
Walking around, it's not full of shit. That was going to eat me.
So I did this Bear Grylls, they dropped me on an island thing.
Yes, yeah.
And it was like a charity thing, and basically I felt really like no one can touch me. Like, I appreciate this is the epitome of decadence. People from a very rich society going, what if we didn't have enough food?
Yeah.
You know, but it was for charity. I didn't get paid. I was making money. I was like, this is not going to be an ethical problem. I feel like it's something for the good of people. And then we had to hunt, and I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. And then we killed a crocodile and ate it.
Ooh.
And it just was like, it weighed on me so heavily. I couldn't bear to do it. I couldn't bear to watch it. I sort of went around and started crying. I felt awful. It felt too much. And a lot of the chat is like, oh, if you ever killed an animal and ate it, it would be easier in a way because it would be sort of accepting what it was. But it was so horrible.
Yeah.
But I swear to God, it was outright the best thing I've ever eaten in my life.
It was incredible.
It was the most wonderful meal I've ever had. And it was partly because we haven't eaten for 2 weeks, but like we like cooked it on the fire, and it was just that.
Yeah.
It was so fresh and so beautiful. It was like pork and fish at the same time. It was beautiful. And like, so in some ways it was like, well, that thing that died was the most honoured and respected thing I have ever encountered, because it was like, we were so grateful, it was so delicious, we ate everything, we couldn't believe it, like feasted on it. But at the same time, I'm like, the whole thing was an artificial experiment, it's ridiculous, I shouldn't have done it. But
and of course, there's probably other ways you could honour and respect the crocodile.
Yeah, make it a hat.
Yeah, make it a hat, give it a little kiss.
Yeah, exactly. Like if at the BAFTAs they said, Judi Dench, we're going to give you a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Honour and respect you, Dame Judi Dench. Please step over to this open flame.
And we'll eat all of
you. We're going to eat all of you, and we're going to eat all the bits. We're not going to waste a bit. We're going to eat the anus.
Pork and fish at the same time. Oh, that was more disgusting than I thought it would be. I was just quoting the original joke.
I mean, it did come off the back of me saying we'd eat Judi Dench's anus.
Yeah, that was the thing. I had that in my head that I was going to say it, and then you said that.
And then you said,
didn't think about what I was following up. But I want to eat a crocodile now. Benito, ready my kayak. Get my kayak, Benito. I'm going to kill myself a crocodile.
I don't like the royal family. I wish they would all retire, but I do love Judi Dench. She's like my queen.
Mm.
And yet I must eat her.
You must eat her to truly honour and respect her.
Unlucky Dench. So, what are you going to have? So, your three options seem to be ramen that you had in Japan, crocodile that you murdered and ate on the island.
I didn't murder, I was complicit in its murder, and
you
feel
watched
terrible.
The murder like a little freak.
Yeah. And then a bird with a bird with a bird that you would have on Christmas.
Do you know, I think I'm going to go Christmas carnage, because it's seasonal, and it's such a lovely, it's quite intense a time. And it's something that sort of, you know, when I was kind of growing up, I didn't really spend it with family so much. I've spent it with friends more, and that can be quite sad and weird or whatever and complicated for the people and stuff. But actually what it means is quite often you just have a wonderful time with your friends and you cook exactly as you love, and it's like such a lovely thing. So
okay,
we'll do that. Yeah, Christmas dinner.
Roast.
Yeah.
Christmas carnage, as you
know. Christmas carnage. Yeah.
We have three best friends. Pigs in blankets, devil's on horseback, cauliflower cheese. Cauliflower cheese, cauliflower cheese. Stuffing, two kinds.
Two kinds of stuffing.
Yes. We are not fucking around. Roast potatoes, sprouts. A fucking million sprouts.
How are you doing your sprouts?
Well, sometimes just a plain boiled little bit of butter. Other times, boiled and then fried with lardons and chestnuts.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I know what I'm going for.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you how I. I mean, if
how
I talked about sprouts on the podcast before, do the Nigel Slater version, which is roast them. So cut them in half, olive oil, salt, and pepper. Stick them into roast for half an hour. About 15 minutes later, you put bacon, bits of bacon in, like lardons. 5 minutes before the end, pine nuts. Throw those in, so you got bacon roasted, and you leave on all the outer leaves, and they go really crispy.
Mm.
And then grated parmesan on the top.
Oh wow!
Phenomenal.
That does sound good, actually.
But it would become for me. Slater, I'd have to do that as well as what I already do.
Oh yeah,
do
yeah. I mean? But that sounds like a good Christmas dinner, because you've cut out any of the weird bits that people put in that they feel like they have to put in. You've just
oh, like what?
100% deliciousness. Mm. Even just like a boiled carrot or something, where you're like, okay, yeah. Well, I need to eat a bit of this with Christmas dinner.
Yeah, yeah. Better eat a vegetable.
Yeah, yeah. Better eat something.
Oh, and I forgot the most glorious element of Christmas dinner: roast parsnips.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But roasted in animal fat, I'm sorry. Roasted in animal fat.
Crocodile fat. Mm.
Yeah.
I kept myself a flask. Yeah.
Got a big flask. But I honour and respect you, crocodile. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas again, Snappy. Well, that sounds delicious. That sounds like a very good Christmas dinner. Now, you have to choose a side dish as well. And you know, got a lot of side dishes in there anyway. I
mean, yeah, I'd have the devil's on horseback.
Devil's on horseback.
Extra.
I think that counts as a side.
Yeah,
that's
I think
a big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a big old one. To drink.
Oh, I found this really difficult. And do you know what I was thinking? It's because I have this idea of when you have a cocktail.
Yeah.
And the idea of when you have a cocktail is so much nicer than any cocktail I've ever had.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I totally know what you mean.
I'm always like, oh my God, we'll go for cocktails.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it feels like an event. And you always imagine, I imagine myself drinking a cocktail like I'm watching myself from outside my own body. And I'm like, that guy is so sophisticated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's like, he's from Mad Men and the cocktail's brown and he's sat in the past.
Yes, but then you sip. Exactly. There's like two or three types of cocktails. And one of them is like that, the sort of 50s martini, sippy, bitter. And I think to myself, I'll have that, be sophisticated. Yeah. I try and have it and it's like, I can drink about 3 milliliters at a time. And I'm like, I'm so thirsty. Or like a fruity cocktail and you're like, oh, so refreshing and delightful and like full of different notes of flavor, you know, or have like lychee and rose water. And then it's just never right. You know?
Too sweet a lot of the time.
Oh, yes.
Just mega sweet.
Or just too one note or too many notes. Like, I just can't.
Not enough notes.
So it's like what I want is a cocktail and I want that person to like look into my mind.
Yes.
See what I want and give it to me without even me knowing. Like, there's a guy called Felix and he runs a bar that used to be a pop-up bar and now it's a real bar and it's called Every Cloud, and he's a cocktail waiter and he is amazing.
Yeah.
It's the best cocktails I've ever had. So I'll get him to do it, but I don't know enough what I want.
You don't know? Yeah, I'm the same in that I know what I like, but I'd have to drink it to know it properly, and I can't articulate myself to be like a bit smoky. I like it a bit smoky.
Yeah.
I just want to feel like I'm in Mad Men.
But I don't want to feel like the sadness of Mad Men.
No, I want to feel like cool Mad Men.
I want to feel like Don Draper for the first couple of episodes.
Yeah.
I want to feel like pilot Don Draper.
Yeah, not season 6.
Oh man, I've never seen Mad Men.
Oh, it's really good. I haven't seen the last.
Jump on this riff, but
what you should do is jump in with something you have seen.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, like Yosemite Sam.
What I want is a 10-gallon hat.
Should it just go? I love a Rob Roy.
What's that?
It's a whiskey cocktail with vermouth and bitters, and. I love it because the first time I drank it, it was how I imagined whiskey to taste before I drank whiskey.
Oh.
So when you see someone drinking whiskey and you think, oh, I bet that's really like, I don't know, just delicious and a bit sweeter than it is. And then you have whiskey for the first time, you're like, why would anyone do that? And now, now I like whiskey on its own. But like, yeah, a Rob Roy tastes like how I imagine it to taste, like a like sweeter, but like still boozy and like, you know, still tell you're drinking whiskey. I really like them. But then that's the worst, is that it's quite easy to make yourself. And when I learned how to make it myself, and I'd been bought some vermouth and some bitters for Christmas.
Also, the mixer is booze. It's like a Negroni. The mixers are all booze.
Yeah.
That is deadly, because you're like, delicious cocktail. Yeah, yeah. Dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A martini is the one I can guarantee. Like, I do like a martini before a meal. If I'm having a big night and the main bit of the night is the meal, always vodka martini.
Mm, that's lovely.
Love it. So but, you're not having a cocktail for...
Look, I'm saying the barman needs to make me what I want.
Right, okay.
You would like saying... the barman's choice.
Yeah.
We can put that down. We'll put down barman's choice cocktail.
Oh, no, it's a sock full of eggs. Yeah, yeah.
The barman's mad. Yeah.
These are more devils on horseback.
Yeah. I love that. In his glass of sparkling water.
Yeah, just blends them up for
Here's a martini I had once. It was... So you know the a dirty martini, like with an olive, but they put some of the olive juice in.
Yes, lovely.
Right, really nice. I had a dirty oyster martini. So instead of the olive, it was an oyster.
Better not be what I think it is.
With some of the water from the oyster juice poured in.
And just 50 pearls.
Was it nice?
No. No, it wasn't. It was the most extra thing I've ever had in my life. I've never had it again. It's not like I've gone to any other bar and gone, you got any oysters back there? I really want a dirty oyster martini. But this was in Bob Rickard. I don't know if you've been there, which is like
very fun.
Deliberately over the top, stupid restaurant.
Is that like Duck Duck Goose?
it's exactly like Duck Duck.
Yeah, every three tables have to run around the room. Yeah.
Rickard!
It's Duck Duck Goose restaurant, is what it is. Yeah.
Great.
There's a button that says press for champagne. It's very silly.
Yeah, it's just.
Is there actually?
Yeah,
it's really silly.
Wow. And do the people then bring you the champagne, or do you press the button and it comes out the wall?
It's like one of those joke buzzers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I imagine. I went there with my dad and we were like, oh, we've got to press it. And the guy came over and he was like, hello, so do you want some champagne? Or because people just press that button. Like, no, we would. And he was like, what sort of champagne do you want? So basically you just get the waiter over. He asks what champagne you want. And then if you want more, you press the button and they bring you more of
that.
Same.
So you have to set up the system.
I see. That's all right. Not into it.
Some of the sheen has gone for me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically there for people to take pictures of and put on Instagram, I think.
I prefer if it was one of those, you know, those wide taps where it comes out like a little mini waterfall.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
I'd like that in the wall and it's champagne and you just press the button and it just pours out like that and you get to hold your glass there.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a good business practice.
But... Do you remember the first time you saw... Speaking as a customer. Do you remember the first time you saw a tap like that in somebody's house?
Yeah.
Absolutely astonishing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just having to negotiate, how do you use this? Oh. Some of them are really hard. Some taps have like a little joystick at the top.
Well, taps and showers in other people's houses are a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Showers in other people's... Why bother?
How do people shower? people who aren't me, how do they shower?
Do you know, I still miss one, two, three rental properties ago.
Yeah.
I had the best shower of my life. And I think of it every day.
The what kind of shower was it? Was it a?
It was an above bath. Can you believe that would be the best?
Yeah.
It's just an above bath. Flip the switch.
Was it the pressure,
the heat.
It wasn't a big like dump, the rain dumper.
No, I hate those.
The rain dumper?
Yeah, I hate those. The rain dumper, rainforest showers.
What are they called?
Rainforest showers.
Rain dumpers.
First time I had one of them, it was like my first time I used that wide tap. Oh. I thought it was amazing.
Your comparisons have to be within the bathroom sphere.
Yeah. It's like, I couldn't believe it. But you don't like them.
No, because you need to be able to take the shower head, like wash your bits.
Not big enough.
I'm a woman. You can't wash your bits.
Yeah, that's fair play. I've never washed them. I've washed my bits before.
Yeah.
Do a handstand.
I can't wash your bits.
Do a handstand.
You gotta
live up in the rainforest. Yeah.
Your bits, pits, and tits.
That's the name of your restaurant, isn't it? Bits, pits, and tits. What's on the menu? Crocodile? Nothing else? Right. So you would like Barman's Choice cocktail?
Yes, please.
No problem.
Do you even know the spirit base that you'd want?
Oh, sometimes they ask you that, yeah.
I would. It wouldn't be whiskey. It wouldn't be vodka.
Well, you've liked whiskey in the past. I've never used a whiskey drinker.
Yeah, I do love whiskey on its own. And I love, like, a little flask of whiskey. If you're, if you're outside overnight, let's say camping, a flask of whiskey, most wonderful thing.
Especially if you're sending young lads in to do outside swimming. They need a bit of whiskey.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A dram.
Yeah, you need a dram if you're going to freeze.
It, so I couldn't.
A reviving dram.
Yeah.
So it might be, I think it'd probably be gin or tequila. But like a really nice tequila.
A good tequila.
Yeah. So light.
We got lost after that swim as well. We got lost in the woods.
It was afterwards. It was really scary.
The one with the seals,
and then, with our map, I mean, admittedly, our map was a tourist map that just had a picture of the theatre roughly on the page.
Yeah.
But our map took us the wrong way, and we had to stop because two stags walked into the road. Do you remember that?
God.
And it was at sunset. It was such an image.
Yeah. It was our first gig of the tour, and we thought we were not going to get there.
Yeah.
Because we went swimming with seals, then got lost in the woods. I had to climb a tree and look above the tree line to see where our car was. Like we're proper. I thought we're going to be sleeping in these woods.
Yeah.
This tour's not happening.
Two stags, and also it set such a precedent that was never quite. There was a time when me and Johnny nearly got hypothermia in the middle of a lake in the Peak District.
Oh God!
But apart from that, like the drama level was like
we crashed the car, Josie.
I mean, to be fair, we did.
Oh yeah,
to be completely
same tour,
Josie.
Same tour.
We had a very dramatic car crash.
It was a very dramatic tour.
We both spoke about it on multiple platforms. Everyone knows about the car crash.
I forgot about that because I was like, well, we couldn't have bested the drama of a stag.
Saw two stags, so that was about the height of the drama. And we nearly died.
I forgot about that.
What a boss you are.
Listen to me.
Speaking of death, we come to dessert.
The death of the meal.
The death of the meal. we just always want to know that. You said starter over dessert any time, but are you a dessert fan?
Yeah, yes, I am. But like historically, I've sort of tried to not eat as much desserts due to like being technically insulin resistant, but it doesn't really, like, it does, obviously it's real, but like...
Yeah, but I've got insulin in a pen that I can
see, you've got,
so there's no worries here. I'm
not
resistant.
A little biro.
I've got,
a biro that you fill with insulin.
Yeah.
My body, I think, is just a bit, like, just doesn't quite pedal properly, so I should avoid it, but what it means is quite often I'll like go for the cheese.
This is the first time someone said that on this podcast.
This restaurant,
and I am completely with you. If you've had a big meal, I don't necessarily want something
too
sweet and rich at the end.
No.
So I will often, James is so angry,
I will often go for the cheese
and I completely agree with you.
Me too, it's delicious. And also the cheese is such a sharing thing. You'll have like little figs and grapes and different types of thing, and you can give people a little bit and you can share. But I was thinking about the most delicious dessert I've ever had.
It's
a bit weird for me because the name of it, I think it's like a bit offensive. I don't know. It's from my childhood in Kent, which, you know, that itself...
I can't really imagine what this is going to be.
No, it's not. I mean, I think it is a word that people use, but I also think it's sometimes a word that people don't like being referred to themselves. But I think there's TV shows with the word in, so people might be doing... So it's called Gypsy Tart.
Okay.
So I don't think it is, but I think I was thinking about it and I was like, oh, I hope that the word isn't an offensive word. I don't think I fully appreciate the discourse around that word. But
I think you sound like somebody who doesn't want to offend anyone.
That's my main.
And famously, of puddings is the is one of the last culinary bastions to become woke.
True. So, such a decadent world.
I think you built that up. I was really worried about what you were going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think maybe I've been worried too much.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
As if I'd be like, guys, isn't that like, here's my new edgy direction. No, it's called Gypsy Tart. And what it was like a shop. We used to have it in primary school and I yearned for it. It's like a shop-bought pastry.
Base.
Thank you. Uh-huh. I was looking at you like, please help me. Yeah. And inside it's got like this... It's like between a meringue and treacle, and it's brown and it's airy. Ooh. And it's kind of, it's just delicious, brown sugary gunk.
I think I know what you mean.
I think I know what you mean as well.
Yes. Or whipped. Oh, maybe I don't know.
It's got a treacly edge to it.
Is
but
it
it's
butterscotchy? Is it sort of
a little,
or more treacly? A little bit.
What I'm thinking of is called like butter tart or something, or like a. Is there a thing called butter tart? Am
you
I
wish.
Going correct?
You wish, mate.
Do they like being called butter?
I'm gonna. Whip
it. I don't know.
Right.
I think it's like butter tart. Yeah, no, definitely. I'm thinking of butter tartlets that are normally. Little.
Am I safe to Google gypsy tart?
Oh God! I suddenly realised that there could be some awful things.
Put safe search on it. Oh no! So I've not had this. If this is what you mean, this looks like what you've just described.
Hang on, I want to have a.
And also, Sainsbury's do one.
So no, it's a recipe though.
Sainsbury's do the recipe, but they're still calling it that.
Evaporate milk and sugar,
Yeah.
It originates from the county of Kent.
Yeah, that's good.
It originates from the county of Kent. All my life I've been like, from Kent is shit, there's nothing there. Now I can say gypsy tart. People will say the word is problematic.
Oh, yes, no.
Evaporated milk, muscovado sugar. Mm. Though some varieties include light brown sugar and pastry. There's your ingredients.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Wow.
Bam, bam, bam.
Oh, I just can't tell you how gorgeous it is.
It does sound
good. Associated with school dinners.
It was! My story checks out.
That's crazy. I thought, can't. But I was sitting here going, I can't believe she's made up a dessert.
Yeah, just so she can get some of her views out.
Made one up just so she can say the G word. Yeah. And now we're looking at Wikipedia and she's gone into the trouble of making a Wikipedia page.
I was just about to say, don't look at the editor. Edited by Josie Long 20 minutes ago.
Hang on, we were talking 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Kayak. Tap.
Would you have anything with the tart? Is there ice cream or cream or...
Oh, wow.
I suppose it's quite a dairy-based tart anyway, isn't it?
It's quite rich. Mm. But yeah, perhaps a little spread. Oh, do you know what I'd have? If we're going to go there, I'd have squirty cream. Why not?
Yeah.
When did everyone last have squirty cream? Not recently enough.
Now, when you mime squirty cream just then, you mime squirting it directly into your mouth.
Yeah.
Are you that sort of person?
Yeah. I actually, me and my friend Tasha, when we were about 16, 17, she had a part-time job in Sainsbury's on the fish counter, which led to her becoming a qualified butcher and fishmonger.
Wow.
But that's not what she does for a living now. But,
but it's nice to have those skills in
your
back pocket.
She's got that string to her bow.
Yeah.
And what we used to do is I used to meet her at the Tesco's in Penge after she finished her shift, and we would both buy a can of squirty cream. And then we would have a duel where we'd like walk five paces and they spray each other and have a big fight.
I love it.
And we did it about once a week for about 6 months. It was
so
brilliant.
Funny.
And we'd use up a whole can and you'd obviously eat it too. But it meant that one of my favourite coats was really cheesy.
Yeah. And that's the one you've just found under the bed.
The cheesy old coat.
Yes, brilliant. As I say, six years ago when I was 16.
So let's go through your meal. I'll just read it back to you so you can confirm this is your order before I go and tell the kitchen. We order the whole meal before you have anything. So you would like some sparkling water.
Yes.
You would like some bread. And you said you wanted this sourdough bread.
Yes. From St. John's.
Salted butter on it. From
St. John.
St. John. Starter, you would like dumplings, prawn dumplings from...
My neighbour's the dumplings. They're really
My neighbour's the dumplings. Main, you'd like a Christmas carnage. Free bird roast. Side dish, devils on horseback.
Of course.
For your drink, you like the barman's choice cocktail, but you would like tequila as your or gin.
Do you know, I'm going to go gin because already gin. The variety we've already had is making me feel a little nauseous.
Oh, yeah, the gin. And for dessert, you would like the gypsy tart.
With
squirty cream.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, that's a good meal.
But when we bring you the gypsy tart, we will bring a can of squirty cream on the side. And the waiter will also have a can, and you can duel pre-dessert.
I remember I'm the waiter. I mean,
I'm going to lose.
Press a button if you want me to come over and have a duel.
There's a little button.
It says,
press here for duel.
Press here for a duel. And I come over, I'm like, right.
What's funny about that is it would be a really fun gimmick. If somebody brought you out a can of squirty cream to your table.
Yeah,
totally. It'd be expensive for the restaurant, but
great. I think you'd have to get your own made for the restaurant. Mm-hmm. So it looked like...
Yeah.
Because it couldn't just be like there from the shops.
Yeah.
It would have to be like our squirty cream.
Yeah.
Like a posh hipstery can of squirty cream.
Yeah. That'd be good. I mean, Ed, I can't really see us doing this podcast and then not opening a restaurant.
A pop-up restaurant, yeah.
I think we're going to have a restaurant and that'll be one of the things that will happen.
Yeah.
Well, also, say when you've done 10... you could pick five of your favourite dishes.
Yeah, do that at the pop-up restaurant.
Oh, that should be the whole menu. Should just be all from the podcast.
Yeah, it's really good. That meal sounds delicious.
Thanks, guys. It's hope been you a enjoy real it. Pleasure.
Oh, no worries, boss. See you again. Thank you very much, Josie. Josie Long, everyone.
Dan Appetitio. That's what I'm going to say at the end now.
That's good. I like that.
Dan Appetitio. That was Josie Long, wonderful guest.
What a great guest. What a great order.
Yeah, lovely meal. And, crucially, no mention of bay leaves.
Congratulations, Josie.
Josie, that's her.
For the listener, I should say that I've just started wearing braces. not even a joke. I know it's hard to know what about me is real and what isn't.
Yeah.
I'm a genie waiter, and now I wear braces.
Yeah, you are wearing braces. You're not a genie.
Yeah, but that's why I said Joshi.
Joshi. You know, in case you've just tuned in now for whatever reason, Joshi. We haven't just interviewed the dinosaur from Mario Kart.
No. Although one day, good guest that would be.
That would be an amazing guest.
Great guest.
No, that was Josie Long, and she had a wonderful meal. And didn't mention the secret ingredients, bay leaves. Although I think maybe you would use bay leaves in the cooking of the Christmas dinner, maybe.
Yeah, so lucky that she didn't mention that.
It wasn't a crucial element.
Getting to specifics.
Yeah. Josie, she didn't get into specifics. I say.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Especially from Josie. if you like the work of Josie Long, she has made a short film.
Called Super November. And it will be touring cinemas and available online soon.
So keep an eye out for that, please. In terms of me, Ed Gamble, I'll be touring around the country with my stand-up comedy and show Blizzard. That's what I should walk out to that. If you'd record that for me, I will.
Just recorded it.
Yeah, perfect. If you, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to stage Ed Gamble. Perfect. Yeah. So that's all over the country. I've started already. If you're listening to this now, which you are, it's impossible to not listen to this now. But I have I have started already. So go on my website, edgamble.co.uk, and check out where I am near you and bloody come.
See what he's doing. I'm touring a show called Cold Lasagna, Hate Myself 1999. Also,
Mamma Mia.
Also, on Dave, Hypothetical, a new show that myself and Josh Whittaker are hosting. Please watch that. You can follow us on Twitter at @OffMenuOfficial. And
on the gram.
Instagram
at @OffMenuOfficial as well. Please like and subscribe this podcast. I'm saying like, I don't even know what you do. That's more YouTube videos. Just as long as you subscribe, write a good old review.
Write a nice review.
Five stars.
Don't be stingy. Come on. You're not a real reviewer. Just give it five stars.
Tell your friends about it. Keep listening. Loads more brilliant guests coming up. But for now,
Dan Appetitio.
See you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast is coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.